Listen to me. I'm going to be one of those preachers today that needs a little bit of support in the room, a vocal response. So how many of you with me? You ready to shout me down? I know Andrew is. I've got Andrew's going to shout me down. You know, you can stand up, you start throwing things at the stage, all that kind of good stuff. Anyone got any hankies that they're ready to start? I need all that today. It's going to be a good Sunday. Matt, but today I'm excited because today is our group sign-up Sunday for this term of groups. Yeah, we can get pumped about that because I've been so excited about today. Literally since September, I've been praying about today. Because I'm convinced that as we go through, the individuals in our church is going to be defined by the health of our small groups this year. And I want to encourage you to lean in today because I believe that if we take hold of this, God's going to do a great work in our lives this year. It's going to be powerful. So let me open up the Bible for us real quick. We're going to read from Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, because I want to show you my favorite small group in the Bible. Mark 2, 1 to 5. It says this, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. That's the kind of small group I want, by the way. We're leading a small group in Rondebosch, so, you know, sign up. Anyways, we're gonna fill it. I want at least 45 people in my small group. Pretend it's a small group, it's fine. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I heard a preacher say one time, probably the biggest miracle in this story is a grown man had four friends in his life who, anyone else sometimes were like, you have all these friends in school and then you go through life and you just have a bunch of acquaintances. Well, that's what I love about small groups, is this man had a small group around him. And thank you, team. You sound wonderful today, by the way. Anza, when did you get your haircut? It looks great. Last year. All right, fine. I totally noticed it before. It's good. I'm one of those moods apparently today. Just excited. I'm just happy to be here. Django, you happy to be here? I'm happy to be here. So these men are in a small group together. And I love that in this small group, and we'll talk a little more about this later on, but there was one of the people in the small group had a need and needed to get to Jesus. And the other people in the small group didn't have a particular need in that moment. They just needed to help their friend get to Jesus. And there are seasons where you're going to group and you're fine and you show up and it's good. And maybe it wasn't that impactful for you, but you were able to make an impact on others. And there's other times when you're the person on the mat, on the stretcher, and you need some friends to carry you. And that's what I love about small groups, is because these gatherings are great. I love Sundays. I'm like one of those church kids. I love Sundays. I'm there every Sunday. I love Sundays. But there's something about a small group that's just different. Let me tell you about my first small group I was ever a part of. I grew up in church. I powerfully met Jesus at 11 years old. And then I just got obsessed with the word. I'm an hour before school, an hour after school, I'm studying the Bible. You know, 11, 12 years old. I'm praying, I'm fasting. As a teenager, I'm worshiping, I'm seeking God, I'm growing in my gifts. But I wasn't a part of a small group until I was 16 years old. And it wasn't even a formalized church small group. I just had four other friends and we were all going on a similar journey with Jesus. And we all kind of turned to each other at a certain point and said, "Man, what if we started just getting together and having fun?" And it was a lot of fun. But every week, why don't we just get together and we pray? And that was just what we committed to. And out of this time, we start gathering together. I'm 16. We start fasting together every week. We start praying together every week. We spend time together. We spend a lot of other time outside of the once a week because something formative was happening in that space. And there were certain things that I got when I was gathering with those guys that I never got by myself. Because you and I are not made to do life alone. I don't think it's possible for you or I to go through our walk with Jesus without walking with others. You even see it in the Lord's Prayer. How does Jesus teach us to pray the Lord's Prayer? What's the first word? Our. Do you know the Lord's Prayer is a collective prayer? It wasn't my Father, it's our Father. There's something about how Jesus made us to do life with others. And what was awesome is, I started this small group 16 years ago. I was just in the UK just now with a break, seeing family, seeing some friends. Monday evening of this week, I'll just throw the picture on the screen. I was with two of the guys from this small group. This is in the early hours of the morning. We all regretted it the next day because we've all got small children now. But we spent time together and we were talking. We went to the same restaurant that we used to go to when we were 16. Turns out it's way more expensive now, 16 years on. But we spent time together and we're talking and we're praying together and we're talking about life and we're talking about our challenges and we're talking about our excitement and our dreams. And it was so refreshing again to remind myself that there is something that I can get from being in a group, a community group with others that I simply cannot get when I'm by myself. My concern sometimes in churches is that we can treat Sundays like a conference that we show up to once a week. We sit next to people that we barely know. We lift our hands in worship and then we carry on with our lives. But that's not actually what the church is all about. The church is where we do life with other people. The church is where we spend time. We get into each other's business. Like some of you guys, you walk through the door and because I've been around you long enough, I've seen that you've had a bad week. Other people may not see it, but because I know you, why do I know that? Because you've committed and you've just, and so I can see when, and then I can check in and then I can pray for you. And then we can do life together. Some of us, we come to this place and we don't know if you've had a bad week or not, because that might just be your resting face and that's fine. You just go through life. We don't know. Here's the thing. You need people in your corner who know. I've been so blessed by small groups. I couldn't do life without small groups. And so it made me think and ask the question as we were here on this group sign up Sunday, why don't some of us want to go to groups? That's my kind of starting thought, my question. And I thought about this and I'll share a couple of answers and maybe some of them resonate with some of us. The first thing I thought about was maybe I'm too busy. Some of us were busy with life. That we've got lots of other things going on, lots of other priorities, lots of other things we're involved with. Maybe work is quite hectic, and so it's difficult to finish on time to get to a group. And let me just say this: one of the things I've been praying about. If I think of like, I don't know, 10, 15 years time in our church, I'm believing that one day we will have a small group in every suburb of Cape Town. Across the week, in different times, in different places, that everyone has access to connect in to a community group across our city in every suburb. And there's a lot of suburbs, by the way. But I'm believing that we'll be there. We're not there yet. And so here's what it may require of you in this season is I think about how some of us, we have different priorities and we can be busy and we have those seasons. But we'll sing songs about how we'll give everything who we are to Jesus on a Sunday, but we're not ready to prioritize groups on a Wednesday. And I just think to myself, man, let's like just be more intellectually honest when we sing our songs to Jesus. Like, Lord, you have my Sunday morning. Lord, you have when it's convenient. I think busyness is very real, don't get me wrong, but it is a priority question. I was thinking maybe another reason why we don't go to groups is maybe a strange one. Church people will get this. If you haven't been around church long enough, don't worry, you'll get this at some point. But church people probably get this one. Some of us don't connect into groups or don't sign up to groups because you've been a part of a weird group before. Anyone, you've been in a weird group. Anyone ever been in a weird group? No, don't put your hand up. Yeah, no. I remember one of the groups that Meg and I were first a part of when we started dating. Our pastors were kind of getting groups together, and we were the young couple who could bring a bit of life to a group. And apparently this group needed a bit of life bringing to it. And let me just say, in the most loving, caring way, it was an odd collection of people. And you'd sit there sometimes, and I'm sat there, and I'm looking at Meg like, why are we here? This is very strange. Lovely people, but this is a bit odd. And maybe it's a weird experience, or maybe it's just a bad experience that you've had in a group. And I think to myself, man, if all the things in my life that were life-giving to me, if I had one bad experience, so if I had a bad experience eating food, would I then stop eating food? No, of course I wouldn't, because it's life-giving to me. But some of us, when it comes to certain church activities that are life-giving to us, maybe have a bad experience or a weird experience, and then we pull back. I want to encourage you that these groups, these spaces this year, if you can commit through this year, I believe it's going to be so life-giving. It's going to be so impactful for you. Maybe the third reason why we don't sign up to groups is the biggest one, I think. And I think it's because we have a lack of vision for this space. We get why we'd show up on a Sunday. We get to come together and worship. We get to come and hear some teaching. But why would I sit around with a group of people that maybe in my normal life I wouldn't sit around with? Different life stages, different groups. Why would I go into that space? And so that's what I want to talk to you about for the next 17 and a half minutes. I don't know, I just made that up. Whatever it is. I want to talk to you about why I think it's so important. Let me give you four reasons why you should be in a small group. You ready for that? Four reasons why I think you should be in a small group this year. And this is true if you are a first-time guest, you've never come to our church before. I want to encourage you, connect into a group. Maybe you're here and you've been coming for a while. I want to encourage you. There are four reasons why I think every person should be in a group. And they're really connected to the mission of our church. What is the mission of our church? It's to help people to discover Jesus and experience life in him. That's what we're talking about. To discover Jesus and experience life in him. And you'll see at the back, we've got these four kind of pillars of our mission. And the first, as you can see, is this. That we want people to discover Jesus. That is to say that we want them to know Jesus. That if you're in this church, which you are today, you're watching online, my prayer for you is that you would discover Jesus and that you would really know him. You can have a measure of that for sure on a Sunday morning as we teach the word and we worship together and maybe you're on a serve team. There's something of discovering Jesus. But I think in a small group, it is powerful the ways in which you can discover and know more of Jesus. As we sit in a circle, I've heard this idea before that we learn in rows, like you're sat in rows today. You learn in rows, but we change in circles. That when you're sat around with others and you open up the word together, or maybe you're praying and your group leader says, hey, why don't we pray together this week? Why don't we go through this devotional Bible plan together this week? Why don't we go on a journey of experiencing freedom together? Why don't we as a group be generous in a particular way? Something happens. You start to know Jesus more deeply. My prayer for you this year, that as you discover Jesus, you come to know more of who he is. I believe God is going to do a powerful work in your life. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to discover who he is, the different aspects of him. So that's the first reason. If you're in this place today, and you look over 2026 and you think, man, I want to know more of who Jesus is. I want to encourage you today to join a group. To connect in and experience something of who he is. The second mission of our, part of the mission of our church I want to explain to you today that I think really helps us to discover more of who Jesus is in a small group is this, that we want you to discover church. That is to say that we want you to grow in Jesus. That as you discover the church and the power and the beauty and the importance of the church, what's going to happen in your life is you start to grow in Jesus. There's something about the spiritual disciplines of Christians. And maybe you're here today and you're not yet a believer. And I believe that God has a plan to draw himself close to you and you to him. But as you discover church, maybe through serving or the Discover course that we've got after church today, but particularly through a community group, what's going to happen is you will find yourself not just staying in the place of knowing Jesus. See, some of us know Jesus, some of us have discovered Jesus, but we're not growing in Jesus because we are yet to discover the church. And as you discover that actually doing life together with other believers is so powerful, what's going to happen is you grow in Christ. Other people are going to see you and challenge you, call you up to the more that he has. There are blind spots. Let me tell you, every person sat in this room and watching online, there are blind spots in your life that you cannot see today. And when you are a part of church community, when you discover the beauty and the power of the church, you are going to grow in Jesus. And that's why I believe for every person who follows Jesus, we are called to two things. One is to make disciples, find people far from God, lead them to him, teach them how to follow Jesus. And secondly, to be discipled. That we never outgrow having someone speaking into our life. That's how we're going to grow in Jesus. And so I want to encourage us that as we discover church, we're going to grow in Jesus. If you want to grow in Jesus this year, I want to encourage you to join a group today. How many more times do you think I can say join a group, by the way, in my message? Let me try a few more. The third thing I want to share, the third reason I want to encourage you to join a group today is because I believe there's some people in the room who are hungry to discover change in their life. That we know that there are parts of our life that we want to leave behind. Maybe you're one of those people, you already had a New Year's resolution that has fallen by the wayside. Maybe you're wanting to see life a bit different in 26 than it was in 25. And you're thinking, how do I win in 2026? I think one of the ways we win is by discovering change. And when I say discover change, I'm saying that we get to become more like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is what happens when we discover change. But listen to me, you cannot change by yourself. Here's one thing I've learned, is that I need accountability in my life. I need other people around me so that when I'm drifting, someone comes in and says, hey, just come back. This is what you said. You told me you wanted to go in this direction. Why are you going in this direction? I say, oh man, I didn't even realize that I was going in that direction. Or maybe I did, and I just got a bit tired. I was a bit discouraged. Maybe I picked up some offense. Maybe I was hurt by someone. And so I started to move in a different direction. But when I come to a small group, and let me say, accountability happens not through assumption, but invitation. If you're in a group, you join a small group, don't assume that your group leaders are just going to hold you accountable. But if you invite them to, that's when you're going to start to see change. That's when you're going to start to see a journey that you can go on. I just want to cast some vision this morning for the kind of lives that we can live. This morning is not a deep teachy morning, but it is a morning where I want to articulate to you some of the vision that we have as a church for you. That if you discover change and repentance in your life, then you're going to draw nearer to Jesus and become more like him. And I believe that as you get to the end of 2026, your life, your peace, the pride that exists in you now can be subdued. The fear that exists in you now can be crushed. That God has a work of freedom to do in some of us. Where there's addiction, he wants to bring freedom. That God has a work for us to do this year. And it's going to happen when you discover change and become more like Jesus. And let me tell you, the best place to discover change in our church is in a group. I want to encourage you to join a group, because if you want to discover change and become more like Jesus, that's the transformation that can happen in your life. If you're looking over 26 and wanting to see something different and discover change, join a group. Finally, the final kind of pillar of our mission is that we want you to discover the purpose on your life. Discover purpose. And that is to say that we want you, as you discover your purpose, that you would live like Jesus. That we want you to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. I was talking about these verses from Mark chapter 2 earlier. As I said, some of us will come into our small group this week. We start our groups this week for this term. And you're going to come in like the man on the mat who is feeling, the man was paralyzed. Maybe you're feeling paralyzed in certain situations. You're feeling just not healthy. Not healthy in your walk with Jesus. Maybe not healthy in your finances. Not healthy in relationships. Not health, whatever it is, you're coming in and you're saying, I need someone to carry me to Jesus. And you're saying, and here's the thing that I love. There's going to be other people in your group who, as they discover their purpose, it's not about the group leader. This is about each one of us. And they're going to say, hey, I'm discovering my purpose. I'm wanting to live like Jesus. So God's given me a gift of encouragement that I'm going to bring to you. God's given me the gift of hospitality, and I'm going to create a space where you can feel loved and cared for. God's given me a gift of prophecy. I'm going to speak life. That I'm going to pray for you. That you tell me that you want accountability, I'm going to be messaging you every day just to check in. That as you discover your purpose, see, some of us, we're coming in and we're saying, I need nourishment for my soul. I need refreshment. I need to come in and walk a different journey. And the beautiful thing is that some of us then are in a place where we're saying, that's not where I am today, but I can discover my purpose in a group. That there are gifts that God's given me that I can give to others. I was talking with my parents. They lead a community group in the UK. It's one of those nights that every group leader dreads. Start getting the messages at 6 p.m. Hey, sorry, I can't make it today. Hey, sorry, I'm busy. Hey, sorry, I can't. By the way, please don't do that. But they start getting these messages. So my mom's there. She's like, what are we going to do? What's the... So they go into the night, not sure what's going to happen. And they were telling me about it the next day. They said, everyone just started stepping into their purpose. There was one guy was having a tough time, and someone starts encouraging him. Someone else shares a word for him. Someone else opens up the Bible and says, I was thinking about this verse for you, actually. They pray for him. And this man finds freedom in someone's living room. Freedom from the oppression that had been taking hold of him. And he walks out that door differently. What would have happened if every person says, sorry, I can't make it that night? It wasn't my parents leading the group. It was other people in the group who said, I'm here today just in case someone needs carrying to Jesus. I'm here today just in case I can pick someone up and encourage them on their journey. Just in case there's someone who needs life speaking into them today, I'm ready. Let me tell you, oftentimes I've found in attending small groups, the times in which God has used me the most is the times I wanted to go to groups the least. Yeah, I mean, you're all obviously much more holy Christians than me, and you've never thought about not going to a group on a midweek. But I occasionally have that experience where I'm there and had a long week or a long day, didn't get much sleep the night before, busy the next day. It's about 6:30, tempted to send that message to the group leader. But I managed to pull myself together, pull through. And in those times, I've often seen God use me to encourage people. I want to encourage you, even as you sign up to a group today, show up. Be ready to carry someone. If you need carrying, show up. Because we want to create environments where you are loved, cared for, connected to, encouraged. And I believe that as we build our church one person at a time, God is going to do a powerful work in us this year. So here's my profound opportunity for response today. Join a group. I don't know if you're surprised that I was going to finish it there. But I know for some of us, we'd be tempted, yeah, I'll get around to it. And it's mid-Feb and we've forgotten to get connected in. I want to encourage you today, before you leave church today, our connect team, our group leaders, they're going to help you to join a group. Maybe you want to fill out the connect card. You can say, I want to join a group. Put your number down. We'll make sure tomorrow you can get connected into a group. I believe God is going to do a profound work in us. I love Sundays, but man, I'm excited for our midweeks. We've got groups happening Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. Connect in. God's going to do a work. It's a practical message today, but I believe it can be a catalyst for what God wants to do in your lives this year. Sound good? Can I pray for us? Jesus, I thank you. Lord, the community started with you, the Godhead, that you modeled for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what it was to exist and coexist. That we need each other, that we can't do life alone. And I pray today, Lord, for every person who feels stirred today, Lord, that you'd put courage in them to make the decision, to take the next step, to say yes to community, yes to stepping into the more that you have for them. That this year would be a year where we discover, we know you, we grow in you, we become more like you, and we live like you lived.